All right, well, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Glad you're here. Remember why we're here. We're here because we believe in Jesus. And the really awesome thing about Jesus is he loves us enough to meet us right where we're at. But he also loves us enough to not leave us where we're at. And so we gather together here to hear his word in order to be transformed, to be more like him, to be challenged to grow in our faith. Because that's what he calls us to do. And that's what he wants us to be, is to be like him. Remember, our mission, our vision, and our purpose here at Northridge is connecting in community with Jesus and each other. That's our goal. That's what it's all about. It's connecting into relationships to help you grow in your relationship with God. If you're new here and you'd like to find out more about Northridge, I invite you to fill out the connection card that's on the back of your worship program that you were handed this morning. Fill that out with as much information as you're willing to give us and bring it back to the information table. We have a small gift for you, and then we'll make contact with you to find out how your experience was here at Northridge and see if you have any questions about how to connect into the life of the church here. Now, if you remember back in May, before I went on my sabbatical, Joel and Kurt and myself went to a church conference in Tampa Bay. And it was just a great time to listen to good speakers and be challenged in our faith. And there was one speaker who really kind of connected with me. She told a story about a movie that she saw called Hercules. Not an older movie. This was a movie that came out in like 2011. It was starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? That kind of Hercules, right? You know, Dwayne The Rock, the big guy with all the muscles. Now, Hercules, if you remember, was an incredible, mighty warrior. But he wasn't just a mighty warrior. He was the son of Zeus, the Greek god, Zeus. So Hercules was this incredible person who was a hero, a champion, someone who would help deliver the people. In one of the scenes, Hercules is in an incredibly fierce battle. And an enemy comes and hits him in the shoulder with a sword. They go on to win the battle. And as Hercules is back at home, right, in the city, his nephew comes up from behind him and notices that his shoulder is bleeding. He walks up behind him and he takes his cape and he covers Hercules' shoulder and leans up and whispers in his ear, "Never let them see you're mortal. Never let them see you bleed." In other words, don't ever let them see that you have a human side. Never let them see that. During that story, the Holy Spirit kind of whispered in my ear, saying, "That's kind of your problem. You see, before the conference, I've been really struggling in my faith. I felt like there were some roadblocks. I had been wondering, what is it about my faith? How come I can't get to the next level? Why am I struggling with a bad attitude? Why am I dealing with some things that I thought were behind me? I had some anger issues going on. I was taking it out on my family and my friends, people who knew me the most. I just couldn't figure out what was going on." And in that moment at the conference, the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered in my ear, "Part of your problem may be that you're not willing to let people see you bleed. You're not willing to let people see the human side of you." And of course, following the conference, I went on my sabbatical, so I went to my sister's lake house in Michigan. No TV, no internet, just me and Jesus for 2 weeks. Really quiet. And at that time, I really wrestled with God and tried to figure out, okay, God, what was it that you were trying to say to me? What is it really that I have to deal with? And as I wrestled with God, and sometimes it takes time when you wrestle with God to hear him, he pointed to a few things that went way back into when I was a teenager. Things that I wrestled with that I never really shared with anyone. Painful experiences that I had that I never really talked to anybody about. they weren't really that big of a deal to me back then. It was just really self-esteem issues, self-worth issues. Some things that people said to me hurt really bad. And it caused a lot of issues in my heart, in my life. Those things helped develop in me this passion to succeed that was a little bit above and beyond. I had a fear of failure. Success was the most important thing. And I was driven towards that. And sometimes those things really led to unhealthy perspective of relationships with other people. I felt like that was causing the roadblocks in my relationship with God. Now, I grew up in a culture, I'm Dutch, so I grew up in a culture that really kind of had that kind of a value. You don't share your feelings. So if you have Dutch background or maybe even some German background, maybe you can relate with me, right? The things that hurt, you just didn't share with people. You buried them down deep in places that you just didn't talk about those things. I grew up in a culture that said, never let them see you bleed. Never let them know that you're really human, that you have struggles, that you have feelings. Never let people see your weaknesses or emotions, unless they're good. And so, in my life, I locked those feelings down in the vault of my heart. Not realizing that when you do that, when you push things down, when you push them away on a consistent basis, they have a tendency to boil back up and fester and cause issues in your relationships and different things. If you don't ever take care of the painful things in your life, they eventually bubble up to the surface again. And they impact your relationships with other people, and most importantly, your relationship with God. So here's a few questions for you today. As I was talking, what were some of the issues that maybe you sensed in your heart, in your mind? Maybe you had an experience growing up, and right away the Spirit brought that to your mind. A painful time in your life. What are some of the awful secrets that you have from your past that you maybe keep pushing back down into your heart? You don't want anyone to know about them. What are some of the terrible events that you've been through in your life that you've never really worked through, that you continually like push down? You don't want to talk about. You don't want anyone else to know about. But they keep playing over and over in your mind. What are the things that bring you anxiety? What are the things that make you fearful? What are the things that really make you feel stressed out and angry? Some of you potentially have gone through unspeakable things in your life. Things that you really don't want anyone to know about. And those just popped into your mind and in your heart. So for some of us others, it might not be as obvious. But maybe there's something simple back in your life, like mine, where someone said something to you that was mean, and it just stuck. But you've been keeping it below the surface for your whole life. Here's what I want you to know today. Jesus is your peace. Isn't that what we're all after? We want the peace of Christ to fill our hearts and our lives. But the peace that Jesus is talking about here is not a peace that is absent of war or difficulties. The peace that Jesus wants for us is wholeness. It's wholeness. And that's what I found during my two-week experience with God back in May. It's the same thing that Gideon found out in Judges chapter 6. The Bible says that the Midianites, the nation of Israel, once again lived a life of sin and disobedience to God. And so God allowed the Midianites to come in and totally destroy them. Like their crops, they would steal their animals, and it resulted in a time of incredible starvation for the people of Israel. So once again, in a difficult time, they cried out to the Lord for help. And this is how God responded, reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." But Gideon isn't sure. He hears God, but he's really not sure. So he asks God to provide him a sign. "Give me a sign, God. This is really you. Haven't heard from you in a while. Haven't seen any really cool things that you supposedly have done in the past. So give me a sign." The angel says, "Okay." So Gideon goes back home and he makes this meal for the angel. And he brings it back and he sits it on a rock, presents it to the angel of the Lord, who takes his staff and touches the rock, and bang, the meal is consumed by fire. And then the angel disappears. Skipping ahead to verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace. The Lord is my peace." Jehovah Shalom. Those two words. Jehovah means that it's from the Hebrew word hava, meaning to be or exist. More specifically, to become known. See, Jehovah, Yahweh, is the God who reveals himself to us. And shalom, again, is not just a piece of absence of strife. It means to be complete, spiritually, emotionally, physically, intellectually, and socially complete, completely healthy in all of those areas. The God who reveals himself to us unceasingly is a God who makes us completely whole and healthy in every aspect of who we are. God reveals himself to Gideon. Now, in that story, did you see the difference as to what God saw in Gideon and what Gideon actually saw in himself? God comes to Gideon and he says, "Hey, mighty warrior." Gideon is in a wine press. He's hiding from the Midianites. And God comes to him and says, "Hey, mighty warrior." That word, mighty warrior, actually means hero. Champion. Not much of a hero or a champion, is it? But that's how God saw Gideon. And that's how God sees us. He sees us through what Jesus has done for us. He sees us as heroes, as champions, as mighty warriors, as God's children. Gideon doesn't see himself that way. He says, "Wait a minute, God. Hold on a second. You're forgetting something. You're forgetting that, number one, I'm hiding in a wine press here because I'm afraid. And don't you know I come from like the weakest clan, the smallest clan in all of Israel? And not only that, I'm like the weakest one in my family." Gideon doesn't think too much about himself. He doesn't see himself the way God sees himself. And in his difficult situation, it causes him to question God. "Hey, I've heard about you, but I haven't seen much from you, at least since I've been alive. Right? Where are all the stories that we heard about? Where are your miracles now? Are you for real? Are you sure?" Isn't that the same kind of thing we do in the middle of difficulties and hardships that come up in our lives? Don't we question God? "God, where are you? What are you doing? How is this possible? Are you for real? I've heard all these stories, but I'm not quite sure that you are the God who you say you are." our painful and emotional circumstances have an impact on our perspective of ourselves and even our relationship with God. They challenge us. So, at that conference, I started reading a book that gave me a picture that reminded me of the kind of spirituality that we've become accustomed to. It's called iceberg spirituality. You have that picture? See, our problem is that we only show on the surface a small part of who we really are. That we keep all kinds of junk and pain, emotional problems and issues below the surface. We push them away. We hide them. We don't want anyone to see them, right? We can become really good at pretending that everything is okay when there's really a mountain of junk under the surface in our hearts and in our lives. When we do this, it leads to superficial spirituality or passive Christianity, if there is such a thing. Right? We just want people to see just a little bit of us, and we want them to think good of us. We practice superficial spirituality. The reality is that we're not really allowing Jesus to penetrate the deep parts of our heart and soul where He can provide us with that peace and wholeness that He wants to give us. When we bury the stuff in our lives, we don't allow Jesus to get there in order to heal us of some of that junk in our lives. God has created us in His image. He has created us to be whole, to experience His peace in every part of our lives. But in order to experience that peace, we must learn how to deal with and handle our feelings, our emotions, and even the sin that we allow to lurk below the surface in our hearts. Here's something that we really need to know and understand. God created us with feelings and emotions with a good purpose. With a good purpose. Yes, they're painful. Yes, they hurt. But He created them in a way to help us direct us to Him for healing. Dan Allender and Tremper Longman in The Cry of the Soul say it this way. Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. However, we often turn a deaf ear through emotional denial, distortion, or disengagement. We strain out anything disturbing in order to gain tenuous control of our inner world. We're frightened and ashamed of what leaks into our consciousness. But in neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves, and we lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. Change, spiritual transformation, shalom, peace, comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. If you really want to take the next step in your spiritual journey, in your faith, then we need to be open. We need to be vulnerable in our relationship with Jesus. We need to understand that our spiritual maturity is linked to our feelings and our emotional health. How can we have a vibrant, exciting, and healthy relationship with Jesus Christ if we are not healthy emotionally ourselves? Do you remember in the Bible, in the New Testament, one of the Pharisees came up to Jesus? And the Pharisees had created all these Jewish laws, right, that they had to keep in order to be holy, to be good Christian people. And one of the Pharisees came up to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you know, we got all these rules. If you could just boil it down to one thing, just tell me one thing. What is that one thing that I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? Just one thing. And just like Jesus, he gives them two. He says, here's the first thing. Love God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And a second like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And those two are intertwined. We can't love God if we don't love our neighbors. And we can't love our neighbors if we don't love God. And we can't do either one of those if we don't love ourselves. Do you see the connection? We have to be healthy emotionally in order to love God and love our neighbor. St. Augustine, an early Christian theologian and philosopher, wrote in AD 400, "How can you draw close to God when you are so far from your own self?" And another early church father, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, says, "Without knowledge of yourself, we have no knowledge of God." You see, when we neglect or ignore our emotions and our feelings, we're not being true to ourselves. When we do that, we kind of close off the door through which we can know God in a deeper and more intimate way. In our culture, image is everything. We do everything that we can to protect our image, don't we? We don't want anyone to know anything bad about us because we're worried about what they think or how they feel about us. And so, in effort to protect our self-image, we actually prohibit shalom. We prohibit peace and wholeness from happening in our hearts and our lives. Fear keeps us in slavery. Fear of the unknown, or fear of being known. Fear of being rejected. A few weeks ago, I was reading the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Cesaro. And he shares in there three false identities or masks that we often invest in ourselves that are really destructive. And as I read through these, I really could identify with all three of them. And I want to share them with you this morning. And I want you to think about these. Think about which one of these you're investing in that may not be healthy. Here's the first one. I am what I do. My self-worth is based on my performance. See, our culture is success-driven. That's why, guys, that's why you work so hard. Harder than you need to, because of the success orientation of our culture. Performance is everything. If we want to be successful, we need to work harder, right? We need to practice more, because unless we're successful, people won't think we're that great. We base our self-worth on our performance. Secondly, I am what I have. My self-worth is based on my possessions. Again, our culture measures success by the outward appearance. The things that I have make me feel important and make me feel loved by other people. And so we invest everything on our self-worth by what we have. Number three, I am what others think. My self-worth is based on my popularity. We are so worried about what other people think about us that we will go to the extent doing anything that we can to present ourselves in a way that other people will like us. We'll do whatever we can. Which one of these three identity issues do you struggle with? Be honest with yourself. I want you to take those and wrestle with them this week. Which one of these, or which two of these, or all three of them maybe that you wrestle with, that you're investing all of your life into because you're worried about what other people think? Healthy spirituality and growth takes radical transformation from the inside out. I want to share with you three practices that you can implement in your life, that you can apply in your life to help you in that transformation process and growing in your faith. Here's the first one. Make connecting with Jesus a priority. It's not rocket science, is it? We talk about this all the time. Connecting with Jesus. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Connecting with Jesus is about anchoring yourself into his love for you. Now that word "remain in me" is actually the word "abide." And it has much deeper meaning in the Greek language, in the Hebrew language especially. But what it means is to stay connected. It's not like your cell phone runs out of power, so at night when you go to sleep, you plug it in, you charge it up, and then you disconnect it. What Jesus is saying here is to remain connected all the time. Abide with Him. Meet with Him in the morning. Read God's Word and pray. Stay connected with Him throughout your day to where you're constantly thinking about and remembering that Jesus is with you, practicing His presence throughout your day. We must make connecting with Jesus a priority, abiding with Him, because that's the most important place for you to get your identity from. See, the identity issues that we wrestle with, it's because we really don't believe in the identity that Jesus has given us. The identity that says, I created you to be a unique and special person. I love you so much that I left heaven to give my life for you, to redeem you, to purchase you back. You belong to me because I created you and I've redeemed you. I love you and I have an incredibly special purpose for you and for your life. That's your identity. You are a child of the King and Creator of the universe. And our problem today is that we constantly try to get our identity from other things. Things that fail. Things that are broken. Things that will let us down. And so connecting with Jesus is all about coming to Him and being reminded of the gospel. Of how Jesus loves us so much that He bought us with a price. That He has redeemed us. And given us this opportunity to have shalom, perfect peace. It's time for all of us to stop living our lives based on what other people think and start living our lives according to what Jesus thinks about us. Because His love for you is not measurable. Secondly, here's another one that we talk about a lot. Invest in authentic community. Invest in authentic community. Now, I say authentic community because our church culture today has gotten confused with what fellowship is and what real community is. See, fellowship is hanging around with each other and loving each other, encouraging each other. That's all great. But authentic community is going deeper into that below the surface junk that we have and finding a relationship with someone else that you can share those things in your life that you don't want to talk about. And you can still be loved. That they would still give you grace. But they would love you enough to tell you the truth. To show you the things in your life that you're doing wrong. To guide you in the right direction. To walk with you through the difficulties. To encourage you to grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. They love you enough to hold you accountable. To walk with you. The truth of the matter is that even in our church small groups, we can tend to wear masks. I've been a part of small groups almost my whole life. And I could tell you from personal experience, they're great for fellowship. They're even great for community. But even in those groups, there's that time, right, when we're sharing. And there's junk below the surface that you don't want to talk about because you're concerned about what they might think about you. And so you don't share them. I want to challenge you to get into authentic community. To find somebody that can love you enough to tell you the truth. That can challenge you in different things in your life to grow in your faith. That you can talk with about the junk in your life and they'll still love you and they'll challenge you to change the things that you need to change. We've been talking a lot about connect groups over the last couple weeks. And I want to challenge you to get into a connect group. Because a connect group is a place where you can experience good Christian fellowship that can challenge you to grow. But it's also a place where you can find someone who you can trust to go deeper, to share the junk in your life. If you really want to experience shalom, the peace of God, the wholeness that God wants for you, you need to find someone that can go below the surface with you and help you. Here's the last one. Be courageous and make changes. Be courageous and make changes. In Ephesians 4:22-24, Paul says, give up the old way of life with its bad habits. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You know what part of the problem is for us? We want to be new people, but we really don't want to give up some of the old habits that we have. We cling to them. We hold on to them. And if we're really, really honest, there's some sinful things that we do in our life that we cling to, that we don't want to let go of. Why? Hey, let's face it, because we like it. Right? We like it. We don't want anyone to know about some of the junk that's going on in our lives because, you know, then they might hold us accountable. And if I ever want to go back to that thing and mess around with it a little bit, I can do that without anyone knowing. And so we keep it hidden. If you really, really want shalom, if you really want the peace of God, the wholeness of God that comes from knowing Jesus, then you need to have courage to change some of the things in your life, to eliminate the things that are causing the bad habits. Some of you may need to walk away from some friendships. Some of you may need to walk away from some things that you're involved in. It's difficult, but unless we separate ourselves and move forward, the author of Hebrews says to throw off the sin that hinders, that entangles us, to focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Shalom comes when we're willing to let go of the old and let God transform us into a new person. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. The Lord Jesus is my wholeness. See, the same God that revealed himself to Gideon comes to us today to give us, to bring us his shalom, his peace, his wholeness. You want to know the beauty of the story of Gideon? Is that it's a picture of Jesus. Because the word that's used for Gideon, mighty warrior, is actually the same word that's used later on in Isaiah to proclaim that the Messiah, the one that was to come, will be a mighty warrior. He will be a hero. He will be your champion. The story of Gideon is a picture of Jesus and what he has done for us. Gideon was the deliverer for Israel. He delivered them from Midian. He delivered them out of sin. Jesus was the ultimate warrior, the ultimate champion who delivers us from sin. It's him that we are called to go to. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came and let everyone see him bleed. He became human and died on a cross and shed his blood so that we could be free, so that we could be whole. We can let other people see us bleed because we all bleed. We're all broken. We can let others see us bleed because the blood of Jesus, our hero, our champion, makes us whole again. It's my hope and prayer today that you will seek the wholeness, the peace, the shalom that comes from knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. May Jesus be your peace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the wholeness that you made available for us through Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you left heaven, a perfect place, and came here to live a perfect life because we couldn't. That you shed your blood on the cross to provide us with life. Lord, we come to you today and we want to honestly admit that we've got a lot of junk below the surface of our heart. A lot of stuff that we've pushed down there and hidden and we don't really want to deal with. We give that to you today. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to really connect with you in a way that we receive our identity from you. Help us to get into authentic community with someone that we can share our junk with and be reminded that we are forgiven and loved. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to eliminate the bad habits in our lives so that we can move forward and grow in our faith and be whole through you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.